This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Valentine's Day is the day for love songs, so we're celebrating the holiday with Stephen Merritt, who has a triple CD called 69 Love Songs. The 69 love songs that he wrote for this project aren't necessarily the ones you'll want to sing for your sweetie tonight. His songs are clever permutations of love song cliches of every genre, from Gilbert and Sullivan to rock, written from both a gay and straight point of view. Our rock critic Ken Tucker put 69 love songs at the top of his 1999 10 Best list. In the Village Voice, 69 Love Songs was described as the best-reviewed album of the year. Merritt leads the band The Magnetic Fields and writes music criticism for New York Time Out. He thinks of himself as more of a songwriter than a singer, but here he is from his CD singing Underwear.
A pretty girl in her underwear. A pretty girl in her underwear. If there's anything
Stephen Merritt, welcome to Fresh Air. There's a song that Ira Gershwin and Harold Arlen wrote called What Can You Say in a Love Song That's Never Been Said Before? And I'm wondering if you felt that way at all before you started this project of 69 love songs?
Actually, I don't really value originality very highly, and I consider my songwriting to be more about other people's songs than about real life or love. 69 love songs is really about love songs rather than about love.
Oh, I completely agree with that perception as a listener. And I'm wondering if you have love songs divided into genres, like the I love you, but you don't love me, and vice versa genre, the I'm no longer in love, so the sun stops shining genre.
I'm a compulsive list maker, and I made dozens of lists in the course of making 69 love songs. And making genres of music and lists of instruments that I could be using in different cliche love song situations kept turning up.
Did you listen to a lot of love songs and try to catalog all the genres as you were doing this project?
Well, I generally write songs when I'm at my favorite bar listening to the jukebox, and I would sit at the jukebox and notice what they were playing, and they play a lot of British new wave music from the early 80s, which is a great source for lyrics for me because it's got so much variety in it. People talk about being machines or about having very special hair or dying every day, or the surrealism in the lyrics of New Wave was a great inspiration for me, and it constantly churns up new possible genres of love songs that I wouldn't get if I were sitting in a piano bar.
Let me play one of your love songs from 69 Love Songs. And this is called I Don't Believe in the Sun, and to me it fits into, you know, all those love songs about the moon being out tonight or refusing to shine, you know, depending on whether you're in love or you've fallen out of love. Why don't you say something about this song before we hear it?
Well, actually, I've written so many songs with the moon in the title for previous records that I decided not to for this record, and so I ended up with the sun in the title.
Okay. And this is Stephen Merritt singing I Don't Believe in the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
they say there's a sun in the sky. But me, I can't imagine why. There might have been one before you were gone, but now all I see is the night. So I don't believe in the sun. How could it shine down on everyone? Never shine on.
That's Stephen Merritt from his 69 love songs, I Don't Believe in the Sun. What are some of the love songs that you grew up with that shaped your idea of what a great love song was? Were there any particular ones that stood out to you?
I think my favorite love song at the moment is They Were You from The Fantastics, the show, the longest-running show in theater history, out of musicals, anyway.
Can you sing a few bars?
There were shining lights, but I never knew they were you, they were you, they were you.
And did you know that? Did you know that song?
My song.
Did you know that song as a kid, or?
I heard it as a kid, but it was reintroduced to me in a romantic situation, and it came to mean more somehow that way. And I've used that as a template for good love song.
What were some of the other songs that you used to, like, set the standard for love songs?
Well, Irving Berlin's Be Careful, It's My Heart.
Oh, it's a great song. Yeah.
Big favorite with me. And On the Street Where You Live, mm-hmm. from My Fair Lady. I don't know why I'm only talking about show tunes, but many of the best love songs are, in fact, show tunes.
Be Careful, It's My Heart has a great line. Be careful, it's my heart. It's not my glove you're holding. It's not my watch you're holding. It's my heart.
It's not watch you're holding.
Yeah.
It's not the book I lent you that you never returned. It's not the note I sent you that you quickly burned. It's the other way around, but implying that you're completely irresponsible, and here you've got my heart, and you're going to smash it.
Now, I know you're gay. Did you ever feel excluded from certain love songs because they were, you know, always sung, you know, from a heterosexual point of view?
Almost every good love song is universal enough so that people are not going to feel excluded from it. I don't really think of She's Having My Baby as a particularly good song, but it does make me feel excluded, I will say. It's definitely not a song that I identify with.
Let me play one of your songs that's written, that's sung by you about a man. It's called When My Boy Walks Down the Street. And tell us what, is this like When My Sugar Walks Down the Street?
You know, until 5 minutes before I recorded this song, it was called When My Girl Walks Down the Street, and I just changed it uh-huh. on a whim. The gender is pretty immaterial to me.
Well, why don't we hear it? And this is Stephen Merritt from his CD, 69 Love Songs.
Amazing, he's a whole new form of love.
rising, and he's going to be my wife. The world does the hula hula when my boy walks down the street. Everyone thinks he's Petula, so big and yet so petite. Butterflies turn into...
Well, Petula was just mentioned in there. When my boy walks down the street, everyone thinks he's Petula, so big and yet so petite. Petula Clark?
Yes.
It's very I Know a Place, I have to say. There's something about the rhythm of it that's very I Know a Place, which was a Petula Clark hit.
Right. I probably should have had a woman sing that song, but then I guess I wouldn't have had the Petula line. I don't know. I assign genders in the characters and the singers pretty much randomly.
You know, in movies and in Broadway shows, usually when, or often when there's a love song performed, the person singing it might be gazing into the eyes of the person he or she adores. Have you ever in your life done that, like sang one of your love songs or someone else's love song and actually gazed into your beloved's eyes while singing it?
Hell no. Oh my God, no. Oh God, I couldn't keep a straight face if I did that.
I was wondering. That always struck me as something that would be really hard to do and almost embarrassing if you were on the other end of it.
If you were... I suppose I could do it as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I do it to my dog. I have a little chihuahua, and I like to gaze lovingly into his eyes and saying things like, be careful, it's my heart. But you can't really be all that embarrassed in front of a dog. That's why I have a dog.
Does your dog like your singing?
I don't think so. No.
My guest is Stephen Merritt. He and his band, The Magnetic Fields, have a triple CD called 69 Love Songs. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Stephen Merritt of The Magnetic Fields, and he has a three CD collection of love songs called 69 Love Songs. Now, earlier you said that you were introduced to that song from the Fantastics in a romantic situation without getting too intimate. Tell me a little bit about how music has worked for you romantically.
I would say the music has not worked at all for me romantically. No one has ever approached me romantically based on my being a rock star or whatever I am. And people don't seem to find it particularly sexy that I'm a singer.
And are
I guess because I sing in the least sexy possible voice, but I don't know.
And what about, say, putting on, a quote romantic record for an intimate moment? Did you ever do that? Or does music not work for you that way?
Well, actually, for romantic moments, I find it difficult to sustain a romantic mood, remembering that I'm homosexual here. I can't really sustain a romantic mood if I am hearing a woman singing. It's too distracting for me. So generally, if I want romantic music, I'll put on instrumental music, because who wants to hear men singing? And it'll generally be music that doesn't have much of a sense of humor, because it's more compatible with romance, I think.
Right. I want to play another love song that, and this isn't a genre that I particularly dislike, so I'm interested in hearing your take on it. This is this is a song in the genre of, I was born to wander, so let's make love, then the heck with you, I'm out of here before daybreak, see you later. I mean, that's that's how I'd sum up the genre. And your song is called Papa Was a Rodeo, Mama Was a Rock and Roll Band. tell me your thoughts on this genre and what you were thinking about when you wrote this song.
What I was thinking about was Nancy Sinatra and Lee Hazelwood. It ends up being a duet. It starts up being the Lee Hazelwood character, but then Nancy Sinatra comes in at the end to make it a duet, and she is Mike, as was the name of her character in The Wild Angels, I believe. She played a biker chick, and her name was Mike. And so she appears at the end of the song to make it actually a heterosexual love story where it seemed to be two men in a gay bar. And it turns out that both of them had a papa who was a rodeo and a mama who was in a rock and roll band, and they have a long affair, 50 years, and travel the country wrestling alligators. It's a very dense song.
What about that whole genre of, you know, I was born to wander, I'm a Rolling Stone, so let's have sex and I'm out of here.
You know, probably my least favorite song ever written is Love the One You're With by Stephen Stills. So I think I'm agreeing with you on that, the smarmy,
yeah.
Let's do it now and who cares genre.
Well, let's hear Papa Was a Rodeo.
I like your twisted point of view, Mike. I like your questioning eyebrows.
That's Stephen Merritt singing from the Magnetic Fields triple CD, 69 Love Songs. Now, I understand your father, who I believe you didn't know, I'm not sure of that, was a folk singer?
Folk with a small F. He was one of those urban folk singers who write their own songs and croon them rather than being a southern plantation worker who's in jail or something.
So he's a singer-songwriter?
A singer-songwriter, yes. A little F folk music. And he lived in St. Thomas.
And his name?
Scott Fagan.
Did you listen to his records? Did he have records?
Yes, he had two albums, and I've heard both of them. My mother has them. I wouldn't venture an opinion on the quality of the records.
Right. Okay. What impact did it have on you when you decided you wanted to perform to know that, like, your father, even though you didn't know him, was a singer and songwriter?
When I was about 15, my mother made me promise that whatever I did, I wouldn't grow up to be a professional musician. Which seemed so wildly improbable at the time that I agreed not to grow up to be a professional musician. And here I am.
Stephen Merritt and his band Magnetic Fields have a triple CD called 69 Love Songs. He'll be back with more of those songs in the second half of the show. Perhaps the spookiest love song in rock and roll history is I Put a Spell on You by Screamin' Jay Hawkins. He died Saturday at the age of 70. I'm Terry Gross and this is Fresh Air. Here's Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
I put a spell on you. Because you're mine. Stop the things you do. because you do. What's up?
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with songwriter Stephen Merritt. His band, The Magnetic Fields, has a triple CD featuring 69 love songs composed by Merritt, an ambitious project featuring clever songs that comment on love songs of several genres, Tin Pan Alley, movie musicals, country and western, folk and rock. Let's hear about Merritt's early life and how it shaped the sensibility behind these songs. Now, I understand you lived in 33 houses in the first 23 years of your life. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Why did you move so much?
Well, my mother was a beatnik, hippie, irresponsible, itinerant Buddhist. And we lived on communes and in boarding houses and other people's houses. It wasn't boring, but it would be boring to talk about it, I think.
Let me venture a guess that you came across many bad singer-songwriters during those years who had guitars and harmonicas and sang their hearts out.
My mother had a lot of friends with acoustic guitars. Yes, it's true. My mother herself had an acoustic guitar. I remember she wrote a song called "And the Turquoise Sands."
When did you start discovering music on your own, and when you started to figure out what you loved, what was it?
Well, actually, I think I discovered having taste in music negatively rather than positively. I had this Pete Seeger Sings Records for Children, some Folkways album, and he sang "Little White Duck." Just a little white duck sitting in the water, a little white duck doing what he oughter. And I realized I hated that song. And I felt like at 5 years old, I'm being condescended to and being talked down to by somebody who isn't probably any better a person than I am. Just because I'm 5 years old doesn't mean I don't have enough intelligence to prefer, say, Yellow Submarine to Little White Duck. I mean, Yellow Submarine is a fantastic children's song. And Little White Duck, well, I kind of like it now. But at the time, I thought it was I thought it was just really stupid. That set me off on my lifelong voyage of arbitrary musical taste.
Now, what were the records that your friends were listening to when, say, you were in your early teens, and how did that compare to what you were listening to?
I didn't have any friends in my early teens.
Oh, I should have known.
Well, we moved around so much. I really
of
didn't
course,
have any
right.
any friends
right.
of any stability until high school.
Was that rough, not having friends?
No. No, I didn't care. I didn't like other children anyway. I've always had a fear of children. And I never had chickenpox or measles or the mumps. I have to avoid children, actually. I should get booster shots.
You went to school, though, didn't you?
I did go to school, yeah. I went to a lot of hippie schools and sort of impromptu private schools and schools in the middle of nowhere. And once in a while, I go to a real, normal school, and I never got kicked out, but I would voluntarily leave.
Since you didn't have friends until you got into high school, when did you start playing in a band, and what was it like for you to have, bandmates?
Well, actually, I first started playing in a band when I lived in a Tibetan Buddhist commune in Vermont. I had these... they weren't my friends, but they were other pre-adolescents, and I think we were called the Black Widows or something, you know, some cliche name. And I was writing songs for them like Satan's Child. I was a little cliche, we liked 70s rock because that was what was happening. And I was into Alice Cooper at the time. And that was probably the last band I was in until... I was in a band in just after high school called Your Parents. We were sort of 60s psychedelic influenced. And we had a song, I remember, called Nudist Colony. It went, "Everybody can be free in our nudist colony."
And?
And they still weren't necessarily my friends. Right now, my best friend is probably my manager, Claudia Gonson, and she was in that band, Your Parents.
She's in Magnetic Fields, too.
And she's also in the Magnetic Fields, yeah. So that was probably the onset of my actually having bands and friends.
Let me get back to 69 Love Songs, your new triple CD. And this is a CD that includes 69 Love Songs written by Stephen Merritt, mostly performed by Stephen Merritt, though a couple of other people also sing lead on it. This is a love duet sung by a woman who loves too much and a guy who's a louse, who says things like, "I thought money was everything, so I let you buy the house." Tell me what genre or what particular song inspired this love song?
I wrote that on the subway, and I was actually... I had the melody first, and I thought it would make a good house song, or house, the subset of disco. And I tried recording it that way, but it didn't work. So now it's this rock song.
Okay.
I could just say that the song goes over really well live because Claudia and I sing it as though we were really... vicious enemies of each other, which is something you don't usually see on stage.
So this is Yeah Oh Yeah with Stephen Merritt and Claudia Gonson. That's Yeah Oh Yeah from the Magnetic Fields, 69 Love Songs. My guest Stephen Merritt wrote that song and was the male vocalist on it. Stephen, is there ever a problem of being too cynical? Do you ever find you have difficulty expressing tender feelings in a song or just sincere feelings in a song?
Oh, I don't really think that it's important to distinguish between sincerity and irony or lying in songs, because I don't really think that there's any opportunity for actual sincerity in popular music.
What do you mean?
How sincere do you really want to be in a popular song? Mm-hmm. Probably not at all. You don't want to seem to be a complete jerk, and you don't want to seem to be so cynical you're psychotic. But other than that, I think that any songwriter can widely range between heartfelt Bible-thumping sincerity and Cole Porter-like irony. I think that there's a great deal of room to play with on any individual album.
Mm-hmm. Magnetic Fields is just one of the bands that you've had. Tell us about a couple of the other ones and how they compare.
I'm also in the Gothic Archies, which is entirely me, which is songs that are just too depressing and full of despair for the Magnetic Fields, or really for anyone else. They're pretty over the top. There's song titles like The Abandoned Castle of My Soul, and generally in a Gothic Archie song, you can be assured that the main character is going to die by the end of the song, if not before the beginning of the song. And then I have another band called The Sixths, which is my songs and backing tracks sung over by various celebrities. And we had one album, we're about to have another. And then I have another band called Future Bible Heroes, which is my friend Chris Ewan doing synthesizers and me singing. And Claudia, my friend Claudia, singing in an electropop style reminiscent of the early 80s, the last great period of popular music, the British invasion of the early 80s. Oh, to be British in 1981. I think that would be my lifelong dream, either to be Irving Berlin or to be Boy George.
That's a stretch. Those are your two.
Now, I think I've achieved being Irving Berlin, and now I need to achieve being Boy George.
Stephen Merritt. He and his band, The Magnetic Fields, have a triple CD called 69 Love Songs. Coming up, we remember Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts, with a 1990 interview. This is Fresh Air.